Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. In the past few years, I've noticed some advertising that's referred to something I knew nothing about. I'd never even heard of it before, called COPD. Maybe you've seen those commercials and seen the ads too. The way they talked about in the ads, however, made me think it was something I should know about. So between some internet research I did this week and this morning's guest, I think we're going to know a lot more before the morning is over. Let me introduce the gentleman in the studio with me this morning. Dr. Robert Lennox is a clinical associate professor of medicine at SUNY Upstate with expertise in pulmonary diseases. And as you know, we've talked about pulmonary, meaning lung and breathing related diseases before. Good morning, Dr. Lennox.
Good morning.
I've looked forward to this conversation because based on some of this background work I did, I think maybe my grandfather died from COPD and we just weren't calling it that. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say. So let's start because my listeners are like I am. They may not understand some of the basics either. What does COPD stand for?
It stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Okay. Is there a name we'd more readily recognize?
It was often called emphysema in the past.
Okay.
But it really is a combination of emphysema and chronic bronchitis. And since both are caused by the same agent, cigarette smoking, they're often, and they both have similar breathing tests, but different. They're lumped together in one entity called COPD.
I see. All right, so let's break it down so we all understand it. You said chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So chronic meaning?
It's a long-term disease that doesn't go away.
Doesn't go away. All right. Obstructive?
Meaning the outflow of air from the lung is slow compared to normal.
All right, and which affects the breathing part you're talking about?
In part.
Okay.
It also does many other things.
Okay, and the pulmonary?
It obviously stands for the lungs, and disease is disease, obviously.
Absolutely. Okay. So it gives us a little better understanding. It has to do with the lungs, and it has to do with obstruction of breathing, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
Okay. What are the risk factors? Why do people get COPD?
Okay. The big risk factor is smoking cigarettes. Most studies indicate somewhere between 85% and 95% of the people who develop chronic obstructive pulmonary disease have been smokers.
They have been. So this really wouldn't necessarily then be a disease that younger people would get. This is something that develops over a long period of smoking?
That's usually the case. There are people who will develop it at a young age, relatively young age, but they generally have an enzyme deficiency called alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, which is a genetic deficiency of an enzyme that protects against emphysema.
I see. So is it genetic at all? Is there a genetic tie? You mentioned these young people, but what about the older people that get it?
There seems to be variability in susceptibility. So if you have two people or 100 people who smoke, not all of them would develop COPD. They may, but most of them will develop some smoking-related disease, be it heart disease, lung cancer, strokes, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
One more reason to quit smoking, isn't it? Is it contagious? Can somebody give COPD to somebody else?
Well, perhaps secondhand smoke could cause chronic bronchitis, but it's not nearly the risk factor as smoking yourself.
I see, okay. But it's not like one person in a family can give it to someone else on the street or...
No, it's not an infectious process.
I see. How prevalent is it?
It's the fourth leading cause of death in the United States, and it's the only disease in the top 10 that's actually increasing in the mortality rate.
Really? So even though the number of smokers we think to be going down, more people are dying of COPD?
That's correct.
Why would that be?
Perhaps one of the factors is the aging of our population.
That would make sense.
As we develop more people who have smoked for a long time and continue to live because they don't die of heart disease and other things now, they are having it. They have a long enough time to develop COPD.
I see. What are the symptoms? How would a patient even think to go to the doctor?
Well, the main symptom of chronic bronchitis is a chronic cough.
Right.
And the main symptom of emphysema is shortness of breath on exertion. So if you, but what people with COPD often do is they gradually decrease the amount of exertion that they do in a day instead of, so they don't notice that they're becoming more short of breath, they're just becoming more inactive, and they often attribute it to aging.
Oh, I see. So where maybe a gentleman who's developing this would have walked up the stairs, now he's taking an elevator and he doesn't realize that he's got the COPD?
That's correct.
Oh, interesting. And they probably don't necessarily even think of it that way, do they?
Yeah, they think that it's related
to age.
They're
just getting older.
Yes.
Okay. How is it diagnosed? Is there a test you run, or how can you tell that somebody has...
The key to making a diagnosis of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is to do a breathing test called spirometry or pulmonary function studies.
Okay. How does that happen? What do you do?
Okay. Basically, you take a deep breath in and you blow out all the air as fast as you can.
Oh, and you have that device in your mouth.
And it measures how much air you blow out and the rate at which the air exits the lung.
I see.
Now, if you have obstruction to the outflow of air from the lung, the rate at which the air empties from the lung is slower than normal.
Mm-hmm.
That can be measured, and that's how you make the diagnosis.
I see. So, and are you diagnosing the COPD, or are you diagnosing the emphysema or the bronchitis? I mean, because it sounds to me like they're all just tied together, but they're different.
Both bronchitis and emphysema cause this obstruction I just talked about.
Okay.
But you can differentiate the two. So there's nicknames for people with chronic bronchitis in the medicine world. They're called blue bloaters.
Blue bloaters?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and that's because they have low blood oxygen levels and they're cyanotic, so they look blue.
Okay.
And then emphysematous patients are called pink puffers.
Pink puffers. Okay. All right. This actually sounds like political parties, but keep going.
Okay. And they actually have fairly good oxygenation when they're at rest until late in the disease. And you can differentiate them in the breathing lab by doing tests that look at oxygen levels and by doing a test called the diffusion capacity, which is low in emphysema.
Very, very interesting. Pink puffers and blue bloaters. All right. Can somebody be cured of COPD?
If you have chronic bronchitis and you quit smoking, the chronic bronchitis will get better over several years. And
okay.
The cough will go away and the chronic sputum production will go away. Incidentally, chronic bronchitis is defined as the production of 2 tablespoons of sputum for 3 months for 2 successive years.
Oh, my gosh. So you really do have a distinct measurement
yes,
for it.
Yes.
Interesting.
But it's awfully difficult to get patients to tell you how much sputum they're coughing up.
I'll bet it is. But they can't be really cured, though, of the COPD?
But the emphysema part,
okay,
if you quit smoking, does not go away.
Do many of your patients that come to you who are smokers, do many of them quit? I mean, it's a lifelong habit they've developed. We know it's not easy for young people, much less longer.
It's difficult for anyone to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Twain had a saying for that. He said it was easy. He had quit hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times,
yes.
Yeah. That's like the diet I've been on. All right. You're working now on a clinical trial for some of the treatments of COPD. And maybe you could tell us about the clinical trial, because I imagine there would be some of the listeners who would be candidates to be in it.
Oh, yes, I'd be happy to. The treatment for COPD basically is the best treatment is to quit smoking, which would slow up
absolutely
the rate of progression of the formation of emphysema and would cure the bronchitic part of the disease. The other treatment would be oxygen therapy if you're hypoxic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the traditional treatment that we give are bronchodilators. Because there's an obstruction to the outflow of air from the lung, if you dilate the bronchial tubes, the air can flow out of the lung more easily.
Okay.
And that would improve their sensation of shortness of breath.
And is that done with a drug?
that's done with several types of drugs. The two main drugs that we use to do that are beta agonists.
Okay? Oh boy.
Which are kind of like drugs related to epinephrine.
Okay.
Or adrenaline. And that leads to direct dilatation of the bronchial tubes. And muscarinic blockers, which are like atropine, if you've ever heard of atropine
I've
or belladonna,
mm-hmm.
which block a receptor that causes bronchoconstriction, so that leads to bronchodilatation. The study drug that we're using is called tiotropium, which is on the market in a form called Spiriva, which is the brand name.
I've heard that too.
Which is difficult to use mechanically because you have to take a capsule out of an enclosed aluminum foil and put it in a container and puncture the capsule, and it's kind of cumbersome for the patient to use.
So it's hard to manipulate for, especially for older people, I would think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the study drug is the same drug but in a different format, where you have a canister that goes into an inhaler and it gives you a puff of the medication, similar to what we call metered dose inhalers, which are the asthma inhalers that everyone is familiar with,
mm-hmm.
or many people are familiar with. But this, the medicine comes out more slowly.
I see.
It doesn't impact against the back of the throat, and you should have better deposition of the medicine and the drug.
I see.
The drug in the lung, excuse me.
I see. So who would be your ideal candidate for participating in your clinical trial?
They would want patients that are older than 40 years of age. They can be a current or ex-smoker, and their breathing test has to show that they have certain abnormalities to qualify. They would be excluded if they have other diseases like cancer or serious heart disease, or if they require continuous oxygen. If they wear the oxygen just at night or for a few hours during the day, they could be considered for the study. But if they need to wear the oxygen continuously, then they would be excluded from the study. Incidentally, oxygen has been the only drug that's been shown to lengthen the life of patients with COPD. So if you need oxygen, it's very important that you wear it.
Very good, very good. Well, Dr. Robert Lennox of SUNY Upstate and University Hospital, thanks for telling us about COPD. You've answered the questions I've had. If people want to get in touch with you for the clinical trial, can they do so?
Yes. They can call. Jerry is probably the best patient to call. She's the clinical coordinator.
Okay.
And that would be 464-5247.
464-5247. Very good. And we'll make sure that we put links to all of that information on our HealthLink On Air website. Thanks so much for stopping by this morning.
All right. You're welcome.
And listeners, it is time for Take a Break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, so please stay with us. This is University Hospital's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.